first of all, let me just say welcome back to myself. It's been a very long time since I've done a podcast. I've been writing a lot less in 2010. My New Year's resolution is to write 4 or 5 posts a week and to get busy on the blogging and on the podcasting and participate in conferences and speaking events and online meetups and so on. I can do that now because CF Web Tools has had a successful year. We have about 15 developers now, and we are always looking for talented new developers. So if you're in that camp, please give me a call or contact me through my blog at coldfusionmuse.com or send me an email at mkruger@cfwebtools.com. And I'll be glad to talk to you about the opportunities that we have. We only hire intermediate to advanced developers. We pay pretty well. We do hire remote developers. We have a whole process set up to handle remote development to work. That seems to be working very well, and the last 3 or 4 developers we've hired have been remote. So that's the sales pitch. Let's move on to the actual technical information. Today I finished a blog post on running Microsoft Access as a data source on a 64-bit instance of Cold Fusion. So I wanted to cover that in a podcast because it is a very complicated procedure and maybe warrant some explanation beyond exactly what's written on the page. Even as I read what's written on the page, I confuse myself. So I wanted to go ahead and give you guys, give my readers an audio version of this so that it may help them get to the place where they can implement this fix. But before we even talk about how to do it, I just want to make sure that I reiterate, as I've said many, many, many times on the blog and in person, Microsoft Access is not a production database platform or server. It is a file driver pair. That's all it is. And as such, it does not perform well under heavy traffic. You will have issues with it. It's hard to manage. You can't make changes to the file itself without taking it offline. So there's lots of issues with Access in production. It does have its uses. I'm going to talk about one of those in a minute. If you have a small internet application, for example, or whatever, you can use Access. I don't know why you would not use MySQL or even Microsoft SQL Express is a good platform for small intermediate applications. But I can't be clearer than this. Don't use Access to backstop a high traffic site. You'll be sorry. Someday you will pay the price for that if you are successful. And I really hope you are. So, having said all that, those of you who are long-time Muse readers know that I've written on Access a couple of times in the last couple of years. One time I wrote a post on using an Access proxy, and it was to get around the issue of being unable to connect Microsoft Access as a data source in Cold Fusion to SQL Inc. In other words, you can't go into Cold Fusion 64-bit and set up a Microsoft Access database. It errors out, and you can't connect to the database. So to get around that, I had this system of custom tags that I had written that mirrored query tags and installed a web service to a 32-bit version of Cold Fusion and was able to kind of proxy my calls to Access, and that worked fine. But it was a big kludge and a big workaround, and didn't solve the problem fully. So the problem I was trying to solve in that case, the implementation of Access that I was trying to solve in that case, was an Access database that was used as an export medium, which I think is a great use for Access. In this case, a big enterprise app, sophisticated users would run these very high transaction reports with many thousands of rows in them, and what we would do would be to export the data to an Access database using the Access pass-through technique. And if you've read my blog, you know what that is. That's basically writing to a separate Access file through a DSN you've set up for Access. That works really well, and the end user gets an Access file that they can download and mine in whatever way they want to mine it. So if they're a good Access user, they can write reports, they can build forms, they can do their own queries, etc., offline, away from the website. So that's a good choice for Access as an export medium. But when I moved to 64-bit Cold Fusion, then I was forced to come up with this elaborate proxy system because I could never figure out how do I get 64-bit Cold Fusion to communicate effectively with my access files. So here recently, I stumbled upon a post, and I may have learned on this of this on CF Talk, but I stumbled onto a post from Brent Fry. His really excellent blog is cfexecute.com, and Brent's post detailed a way that he was able to get around this issue. So I want to I took his fix and I put my own spin on it and dug into it a little bit more and created this post and this podcast to kind of explain how that whole thing works and to give you kind of the baseline instructions for how to get it done. Of course, there's nothing wrong with Brent's post. It's just that I need to write things down so I remember them myself, and I'll never remember where it's at if I don't put it on my own blog. So that's basically the skinny. But before we even talk about the fix, I want to talk about those 32-bit drivers. The party line is on a 64-bit OS. There's no 64-bit version of JET. JET being the age-old Microsoft Access driver that we've all been using since Windows 95 or Windows NT. So there's no 64-bit version of JET that is native to 64-bit Windows platforms. In other words, if you go to the ODBC control panel in your administrative tools and you click on the ODBC control panel icon and it opens up and you click on System DSN, and then you click on the little Add button. On 32-bit Windows, what you'll see is a whole list of drivers. You'll see DBase drivers and Access and all kinds of stuff in there. But on 64-bit Windows, the cupboard is decidedly bare. You'll likely see Microsoft SQL Server, which driver ships with all 64-bit versions of Windows, but you probably will not see. In fact, I am confident enough to say you will not see a version of Microsoft Access. And that's because that only 64-bit drivers are listed on a 64-bit Windows OS. Now, that's the deal with the Administrative Tools ODBC control panel. The second thing you need to know is saying there's no 64-bit version of JET is not the same thing as saying there's no version of JET installed. The old 32-bit version of JET is actually installed on the machine. You just have to find it. So you can use the 32-bit version of JET on this machine, and you can set it up. That's exactly what we're going to do. So the first thing you have to know is, and you already know this, that a 64-bit OS can run a 32-bit program. In fact, a good percentage of programs on a 64-bit OS are probably 32-bit. All the utilities and all the, even like in Cold Fusion, you have 64-bit Cold Fusion. Verity is running as a 32-bit app on a 64-bit Cold Fusion application. So, so 32-bit will work. We just have to find out how to do it. So the first tip is there is a special folder in Windows, in the Windows folder, called the SysWow64 folder. And SysWow64 stands for System Windows on Windows 64. Okay, so it's the replacement for the System 32 folder, and it contains all the old 32-bit versions of the system. Not all of them, but a lot of the old 32-bit versions of the system utilities that you're used to seeing. And if you have one that doesn't seem to behave the same on the 64-bit OS, you can go looking for it in the SysWow64 folder. Well, in the SysWow64 folder, you will find a little utility called odbcad32.exe. That's the same file name as the Windows Control Panel applet, the one that we just looked at that only shows 64-bit drivers. Inside of the SysWow64 folder, however, this little applet, if you open it up, will actually give you the 32-bit drivers, and that's because it's in this special folder. So the first thing is we're going to open that puppy up and go to the System DSN tab, click on Add, and what you'll see is, hey, you've got your list of the old driver list that you're used to seeing, and these are all the 32-bit drivers. So that's the first thing that we have to kind of deal with is where to find these drivers. That's where to find them in the SysWow 64 folder. Now, some of you might think that's kind of convoluted. The ODBC 8032.exe file that you find in System32 manages 64-bit drivers, and inside of the SysWow 64 folder, you have an ODBC 8032.exe file that actually manages 32-bit drivers. But that is the fun of Microsoft's conundrum of having to support both 32-bit and 64-bit software on the same platform, and this is how they've organized it. I don't have an objection to it, but it does take a while to wrap your head around it. All right, so that's where we're going to go to find the 32-bit driver. So let's step back from the whole "where's the 32-bit driver" question, and let's talk about this application that's running on your ColdFusion server called SQLink. If you go to the Services Control Panel, where you see your ColdFusion server running, and if it's running in multi-server, it'll say something specific about the instance, or if it's running in standard version, it'll say ColdFusion Application Server. In that same list, you're going to see ColdFusion ODBC Server and ColdFusion ODBC Agent. These two services are running the SQLink server. SQLink is a server that is published by Merint, the same publisher of all the drivers that ship with ColdFusion. And the SQLink server is what provides the magic that allows JDBC to communicate with Access through ODBC. So what's actually happening under the hood on a regular installation of ColdFusion is when you set up an Access database successfully, let's say on a 32-bit platform, what you're actually doing is you're adding entries to the SQLink server, and the SQLink server is actually mapping to the database, and it's presenting ColdFusion with a listener, a socket listener, and ColdFusion is sending JDBC calls, because ColdFusion and all Java can only use JDBC to access database. That's all it knows how to do. Doesn't use ODBC. So ColdFusion is sending JDBC calls to the listener on SQLink. SQLink is then translating those JDBC calls into ODBC calls that go down to the JET driver, which accesses the file, produces results, sends the results back to SQLink in the form of ODBC information. SQLink then translates the ODBC back into JDBC compatible data and sends it back up the socket to the calling process. All of that is happening under the hood when you write a Microsoft Access query. And by the way, just a quick thought about that. I mean, if you just think about that for a second, you'll see that that's exactly why Microsoft Access is even a worse idea on ColdFusion MX as a version 6 than it was on ColdFusion 5. On ColdFusion 5, at least you were using the native ODBC calls to access, but in ColdFusion MX, starting with version 6 and on, you're not doing that. You're actually going through another layer, a bridge layer, it's called, a bridge layer provided by that SQLink server. So there's a whole latency issue. There's a whole kind of marshaling data back and forth between these layers that comes into play. And so as of MX, Access became even a worse choice to make. And starting with MX, CF Web Tools began to aggressively suggest to all of our customers that they needed to move away from Access to a true RDBMS like MySQL, Microsoft SQL, Postgres, whatever. So now, let's put two and two together. If SQLink uses a socket interface for CF to access, and the 32-bit drivers do exist on Windows 64-bit, it stands to reason that it must be possible to get the two of them to work together. Verity's 32-bit, it cooperates with CF just fine. Same principle, right? A socket interface. So this must be possible. The question is simply, what is stopping us from getting the two to interact? Well, the simple answer to that question is pretty basic. It's not that the driver doesn't work or doesn't exist. Same 32-bit drivers that have always worked will work the same with a SQLink server. It's 32-bit, so that part is the same. The real problem is simply that ColdFusion can't map correctly through the registry to the listener, or I should say that SQLink can't map through the registry to the correct file and driver issues. The driver paths and other configuration stuff under the hood is simply different. It's in different places. So the trick is to fool a SQLink into seeing the old registry mappings that used to be there and point to the correct drivers. Now, there's two versions of Windows Server 64-bit. One is the Windows 2003 64-bit, and the other is Windows 2008 R2, which is always 64-bit. So we're going to talk about both of those versions, and the truth is, this is actually a little easier on Windows 2008 R2. That's two steps to make this happen. On Windows 2003 64-bit, there's an additional monkey wrench thrown in that you have to get beyond. And it will be very hard for me to describe that via audio. For 2003, you really need to log into the blog and check it out on the page to see what I'm talking about. I will describe it, but it will be difficult for you to grasp without actually looking at the code and the text. So let's talk about 2008 R2. How do we get our SQLink and ColdFusion to recognize this 32-bit driver? So the first thing you do is let's go back to that SysWow 64 folder. It's in the window. It's, you know, on a typical installation, /syswow64/odbcad32.exe. That's the file we're looking for. Double click on it. Click on the System TSN tab and click on the Add button. Find the Microsoft Access driver, and here's the trick. You want to enter the same name for the data source that you intend to use in ColdFusion Administrator. So if I had a data source named Bob, I would type in Bob. I would click on the little ellipsis to navigate to my bob.mdb file, wherever I've chosen to put that on the disk, and I would create a system DSN pointing to the right file called Bob. And I would click OK and make sure it was registered in the little ODBC32 control panel. So now I have a mapping somewhere in the registry, right, in the system, in the ODBC system, that points to bob.mdb with an alias of Bob. So that's step one, okay? Step two, now that I have that under the hood, step two is that I log into the ColdFusion Administrator and I click on Add a New MS Access Data Source, and I simply use the same data source name for an alias as I did in my ODBC control panel. So I use Bob, and I type in Bob, and I navigate to the folder. I do everything like I would normally. The only thing I have to remember is that the two aliases, the one in the 32-bit ODBC control panel, applet, and the one in ColdFusion, have to be exactly the same. Now, when you click on Add, you're going to get an error. Okay, the error message will say, unable to update the NT registry. Okay, then that's the part that it's trying to write to a key in the registry that does not exist. And the reason it doesn't exist is because it's different on the 64-bit than it is on the 32-bit. But the big secret is the data source will still register and it will be ready for you to use on 2008. So to test it, just, you know, open a test ColdFusion file, a CFM file, and you know, run a query against the Access database. What I usually do is run select, you know, now, the function now for the date time as date, and I run that, and if that works, then my DSN is successfully set up and I'm hitting the driver. Now we're going to talk about 2003 64-bit, but you get it, right? Step one, set up, use the SysWow 64 folder, find the odbcad32.exe file, and set up a system DSN alias the same as your data source name that you intend to do in the ColdFusion Administrator. Log in the ColdFusion Administrator, add your data source as normal, make sure the alias matches whatever you put in the applet, in the SysWow 64 applet, and ignore the error that says unable to update the registry. Everybody got that so far? Good. Okay. So what happened when you did this? Well, when you added your alias in the 32-bit version of the administrator's applet, you actually added a special registry key that actually is pointed to HKEY local machine software WOW6432 node /ODBC. And this is what kind of knits together SQLink with the you know, with the file. Through some sort of under the hood magic, SQLink knows about this node. It's a 32-bit listener, and it looks for the 32-bit drivers, and it knows about this WOW6432 node in the registry. So doing those two things together manages to, in separate cases, match these guys up. Now, if you're using Windows 2003 server 64-bit, things are a little trickier. And again, I want to point out that Brent Fry at CFExecute pointed me in the right direction. So that's where I got this information. And I do actually have this running on a 2003 64-bit server in production, and it's working splendidly. What's happening in 2003 is that the registry entries for 32-bit drivers are not located at WOW6432 node in the HKEY local machine software node. Instead, when you add a 32-bit alias using that little, you know, administrative tool ODBC applet that you find in the SysWOW64 folder, it creates a registry entry at HKEY local machine /software/ODBC. There's no WOW6432 node inserted in there. That's the old style registry entry. That is, in fact, the kind of registry entry that is created on a 32-bit platform. So that's a change. When Microsoft came around to R2, they said, well, you know, this ODBC thing, we're not being consistent with our 32-bit software. Everything on 32-bit, we're kind of putting under this other node. We should be doing that as well. And they moved it. And when they moved it, it became possible to map, you know, with those two steps, and everything worked out hunky-dory. But on 2003, 64-bit, it just didn't work out that way. They failed somehow to, you know, to map to that node exists, the WOW6432 node that exists in the registry. It's just that the ODBC doesn't get appropriately mapped there. So here's what you do. You follow step one. You go into the little control panel applet. You create your alias for your data source. And then before you do step two, before you go to Cold Fusion and try to create your data source there, you actually open a registry editor. Now, before I say this, all of you folks that are listening, hopefully, are skilled system administrators, know exactly what I'm talking about, and know exactly what kind of harm you can do to your server or your computer by mucking around in the registry. So please, all the usual warnings about registry editing apply here. Don't do this unless you're confident you know what you're doing. So having said all that, open the registry editor. Find HKEY local machine /software/ODBC/whatever your data source name is. So in my case, it was HKEY local machine /software/ODBC/Bob. Export that to a .reg file, so you export the whole key, and open it for editing in Notepad. What you're going to see is, you know, what you would expect to see, all the edit stuff that has that path /software/ODBC in it. And about three or four, I think four, different spots for each alias that you use in the file. The fix is very simply to change each one of those HKEY local machine paths and insert between software and ODBC /WOW6432node/ODBC. So your new path throughout the file in all four places should say HKEY local machine /software/WOW6432node/ODBC. Please, before anybody does this, go to the blog, check out my sample so that you know exactly what you're up against. I'd hate to have anybody doing this for my audio. So, once you get your file set up, save it as a registry, as a .dot, you know, .reg file, run it, and you will have inserted the registry entries into the proper place. Then go back to Cold Fusion, set up your alias, name the same as you set it up in the applet, and you have now mapped correctly your file through SQLink to Cold Fusion, and you'll be able to run the run access queries against your access database successfully in Cold Fusion. Phew, man. It's a pretty involved process. I would not want to implement it on a server with dozens of access files. And again, I believe in minimal and judicious use of access. But if you absolutely need access, running in a 64-bit Windows environment, it's really nice to know it's possible. This is how you do it. So again, my thanks to Brent Fry for pointing it out. Let me just say to Muse readers, I welcome your comments. Please feel free to log in and leave your comments. Make them constructive, related to the topic, and we'll be thrilled to see those and be able to point people to them when they're useful, as we always do. Thanks for reading, and until next time, this is Cold Fusion News saying happy coding. Thanks.